Well, we have a study that's ongoing. So, those of you who are listening and not being able to attend, we're studying through the doctrine of the Trinity. There's many out there in the world who, for whatever reason, do not understand or will not accept the doctrine of a triune Godhead, or what we mean by three persons in one. They'll say there's only one God, and he just manifests himself in different ways at different times, or he just goes through all these different modes, or whatever, or the like, right? Or they'll have the Father, the person, the Father, dying on the cross for our sins. Different kind of odd things that people can come up with if you start taking liberties with the scriptures, okay? Or filling in the certain so-called blanks with human logic and human philosophy. Or trying to push an agenda and only look at some verses and ignore others you don't like. But what we want to do today to kind of take the next step in wrapping this up, we've looked at the Father, we've looked at the Son. Today we want to look in a broad sense at the Holy Spirit. Now I'll warn you today, I want you to pay attention. Some of this kind of stuff, it might seem dry to you, it might seem like you have a hard time focusing. But in this overview, I want you to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Okay? And I want you to understand, we've started through going through the Old Testament stories, looking at who God is and how he's worked with his people. And I thought in this month, it was especially good to take a break since I had a week off there earlier. To transition into actually looking at God from more of a doctrinal sense for a month. And then we're going to go back to those stories, continuing to see more about who he is, okay, personally, right? Who he is. And you can see it by what he's done, okay? We can see in creation a revelation about God and what he's like and what he values, what he sees as beautiful, what he sees as well made, well done. Okay, things that are aesthetically pleasing to him, right? He created this whole beautiful world for us, right? But it's ultimately for his honor and glory as well. Okay, so, and we see that we've talked about this before. All three persons of the Godhead were basically involved in the creation of this world. Okay. All three of them were there. And so we want to see that we want to understand the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one of the first ones that opponents of the Trinity will say, well, there's no such thing as the Holy Spirit. He's the first one they'll try to do away with. Even though if you're looking through scriptures, as far as the things the Holy Spirit does, you find a huge list compared to the other two. Huge list of things that he actually does for us. And so we're going to look at why is the Holy Spirit God, okay, and some support for that. We're going to look at what has he done, or what exactly does he do for us? Okay, who is he? He's important, I'll give you that. He is important, and he is fully God. So let's go into this study here today. So before we do, we want to recap. So let's go over. Shannon's going to check that screen for us because sometimes it pops up something and freezes. Get to our slide here. Okay, so we have a recap. So basically, we're going to start off the bat. I don't know if all of you have been to all of these lessons, so we're going to look at this. There is one God. Okay? Make no mistake about it, the Bible records that there is one God. There's one and only one God. Okay, we do not serve three gods. We don't serve multiple gods. We don't serve any god other than the God of the Bible. Okay, so there is one God. We've established this. Next thing, there are three persons of the triune Godhead. Okay, you won't necessarily see the word Trinity, the English word Trinity, in your English Bible. You will see the word Godhead. And the idea is, or you will see the The Trinity refer, or the Godhead referred to as us, right? Or in a plural sense. Well, see, there's three persons in this Godhead. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the next point, each are distinct yet fully God. We'll look at a diagram later to remind you how this can be. They're each distinct person, or we talked about an essence, right? Yet fully God, all of them. Each of the three have things that they do. Okay, things or tasks that they perform, or roles that they fulfill. Okay, and it, a lot of times it's in conjunction with the other two, or maybe also with the other two, they assist in it. Okay, so and there can be overlap there because he's God, right? He's God. But there's each specific things the Bible mentions. The Holy Spirit does this. The Holy Ghost does this. By the way, just so we're clear off the bat, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost are talking about the same person. You see that in Scripture? That's what we're talking about, same person, person of the Trinity. Okay? But God the Father does this. God, you know, God the Son does this. Holy Spirit does this. Things that they do. Okay? So that's our recap. We want to see initially here a progression. If you remember, who sent the Son, Jesus Christ, into the world? The Bible says, yes, God did, right? It says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, correct? He sent the Son. The Son came from the Father, we talked about before, last time. From the Father, right, to do the will of His Father, to die for us. And when He rose again, where was He going? He was going back to the Father, wasn't He? Okay, came from the Father, was here with us, manifested in the flesh, the Son, okay, the person, the Son, took on flesh, laid it down for us, was resurrected and went back to the Father. The Father and the Son, then, we're going to look at today, sent the Holy Ghost, Father and Son. Remember, many times Jesus said to His disciples, you know, if I go, I will send the Comforter. We're going to look at that today. Send the Comforter unto you. It's another name for the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. So this is a progression here. Today we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us if we're believers in Jesus Christ. If we're positionally in Christ, that Holy Spirit indwells us. Right? He's our Comforter. He's our seal we're going to look at today. But that's something He does. Christ died on the cross, and then the Holy Spirit comes and dwells us as believers. Not the Holy Spirit dying on the cross. Okay, it's not God the Father dying on the cross. It's Jesus Christ, the person, the Son, dying on the cross. Fully God. Okay, people take liberty. Well, if He's fully God, then they go all through all these ramifications. Well, we can just include them all into that. Folks, as the Bible doesn't. So go ahead, Pat, if you have a question. Well, we'll look at it. If people baptism doesn't get you to heaven, does it? Right? And you can sin. Sinning won't keep you from heaven unless you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Correct? If you never trusted Christ as your Savior, you will not see heaven. And we're going to look at today how the Holy Spirit convinces the world of sin, right? Of righteousness and judgment. But the idea is He also seals believers, okay? If you're a sealed believer here today and you're living in sin perpetually, you're grieving the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at that. There's many things you can do in your Christian walk that affect the Holy Spirit directly. But let's look at the next thing here. The Holy Spirit is God. Okay, let's not make a mistake about this. People, right off the bat, like I said, they'll deny that the Holy Spirit is God. They'll say, well, it's just God's Spirit, right? Okay, just God the Father's Spirit. Well, that's not how the Bible describes it. But let's look in Acts 5:3 and 4. the story might be familiar to you, but it's when Ananias was dealing with Peter here. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Well, as it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Okay, seeing here, this is the idea here. You lied to the Holy Ghost, but who have you lied to? You've lied to God. Okay, we have a tie-in here with the Holy Ghost being God. Okay, we talked about before the fact that the Holy Spirit, okay, the person, the Holy Spirit, is God. You can go and say a lot more about that passage, but for sake of our topic today, we want to see that the Holy Spirit is God. So look at this diagram. I want you to remember this because it's a good way to understand it, a complex concept. Okay, if you see there in the diagram, and God is in the middle here, okay, but you see the Father is not the Son, is not the Holy Spirit, is not the Father on the outside. But each one goes to the middle, and it says, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Okay, they are each fully God. Okay, in one God, one triune Godhead. Okay, and that's basically the best illustration I can give you of what the Bible describes. Okay, especially when you see verses where all three of them are mentioned together working on a similar kind of task. You could think of creation of the world or other things, okay? Each performing some different part or role of it. But this is the idea. The Holy Spirit is God. You lie to the Holy Spirit, you're lying to God, aren't you? He is deity, okay? The Son is deity. The Son came in the flesh, right? We call him the God-man. We can't call him the God-man, folks, if he's not God. But he is. He has to be. He has to be God in order to be the perfect sacrifice. God in the flesh, right? The Father is God. We worship God, okay? Not something else, not God, little g, right? The Father sent the Son. So we see here, there's three in one. Don't forget the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but you can see in different verses, and I did not write them all down. That's there for you to study on your own. But the Holy Spirit has attributes that would be attributed to God. Okay, so we have some proof here. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We see omniscience on display here. The Holy Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. We don't understand these things on our own, but the Spirit of God does. Okay, you see that verse there. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, not this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Okay, we have this for our understanding in this way. Okay, but he's the Spirit of God. Remember, God is all-knowing. Right? He is all-knowing. And we have that ability, folks, in the Holy Spirit to understand God's truths. Isn't that an amazing thing? Remember that the unsaved world, okay, those who are in this world and have still, to this point, rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior, they do not have this ability. They do not have the Holy Spirit of God to help them understand, okay, these things that it's talking about here, the deep things of God. Many people can sound deep in their understanding of philosophy or history or science or whatever. They're missing this component. They're missing something important, aren't they? Okay, and you deal with them all the time. I know I do. Okay, whether at work or social media or wherever, just in general, your family. They deal patiently with them. They don't understand. Point them to the gospel. But the Holy Spirit is at work in this way. Okay, let's look at the next verse. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have from God, and ye are not your own?" When I was in college, many times the preachers would come and they'd hit on this verse. But the idea here, folks, is that the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, he's from God. He is of God. Ye are not your own, but he's in you. Okay? He is in you. Remember, the Son has left. What did he say? He sent the Comforter to you. You have the Holy Ghost. Okay? The temple, right? Temple of God. And it's different. We don't have to go to a temple to worship God. We ourselves, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, are a temple, the Holy Spirit. Right? Think how important it is to live your lives in light of that, right? You know, defile your temple with sin or with things, fill your mind with evil. So often we do, but we shouldn't, thinking that, okay, we're God's temple here in this sense, or grieving the Holy Spirit again, if we do that, right? The Holy Spirit indwells within us. Let's make choices along the lines of that. The Holy Spirit regenerates. We see this work. Remember, this is what God does. John 3, 5 and 6. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of," is that word there? "The Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." Okay? We have the Holy Spirit at work here. And I want to hit on this multiple times as I go through. The Holy Spirit, you see, involves so many times, time and time again, in miraculous things. And things that we just can't fathom, we can't explain in our own fleshly wisdom and logic. Okay, remember, we started off saying he was involved in the work or miracle of creation, right? He's involved here in regeneration, okay? The Spirit birth. When I just think again, wasn't he involved in the virgin birth as well, right? Mary had the child of who? Of the Holy Ghost, right? Creating Jesus Christ, okay, in the flesh. And then we're going to see again other things that he does. But he's at work. He was at work at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even, right? Raised by the Spirit, okay? And so there's some great work that the Spirit does in regeneration, okay? Or bringing life or giving life. He has that ability to do that. Remember, why should that be surprising? Well, it shouldn't be if you understand that the Holy Spirit is God. Okay, he is God. Next thing. As we said, the Holy Ghost is, or Holy Spirit is, the Comforter. John 14 is an amazing passage, and if you go home this week, I challenge you to read John 14 and really take it verse by verse and understand what it's saying to you. The Holy Ghost is the Comforter. John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Okay, this is Jesus talking to the disciples and others there. And it says in 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him." Okay, so the world doesn't know this person, this Holy Spirit. "But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you." Let's skip down to verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is," and you get a definition here, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." Okay. So we have this idea of all three of them are involved right here in this phrase, whom the Father will send in my name. So the Holy Spirit being sent in the name of the Son by the Father. So understand that. He shall teach you all things. Here's something else that he does. Teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I, Jesus Christ, have said unto you. This person, the Holy Spirit, is going to come to you, teach you, right? And then help you to remember and understand what I have said to you. Aren't you thankful that for that, folks? We have that Holy Spirit, okay? When we study God's Word, you have to be in God's Word, right? You have to study it. But the Holy Spirit has this idea, like he's in you, and he can help you remember what's in the Word of God, what you should do. Okay, he can bring it to your remembrance. We have this idea. He can teach you so that you can eventually understand it. Remember, we have a tutor that is far above, beyond any tutor in this world. We have that Holy Spirit of God, very Holy Spirit of God within us. We're not going to abuse it by being bad students of the Word and blaming it on the Holy Ghost, right? No, but the Holy Ghost teaches us the right things, okay, if we're diligent to actually put ourselves into God's Word and study it, okay? We have the Holy Spirit. He's not going to teach us or show us anything different than what Christ, okay, has taught. The persons of the Godhead do not go against each other as far as truth. Truth is truth, and he's going to show you the truth, right? Okay. And so when you say, well, I've got this revelation from the Spirit, well, do you? Because does it line up with what the Bible says, what Christ taught, others have taught, right, in context? Well, it's not of the Holy Ghost, then, I'm sorry to say. But we have the Comforter. Let's look a little bit deeper at this. The Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. So this is Christ saying, I'm going to send him. And we had this other verse here just now where the Father is sending him in Christ's name. Right? That's why I said originally, sent from the Father and the Son. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from where? From the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. He shall testify of me. I want to draw a little bit of attention to this. Many times, many times you'll see the Holy Spirit referred to as he or him, okay? It's not just some nebulous cloud of something in the sky, right? It's not an it, okay? No, it's a he, it's a person. He shall testify of me. He's not some, if you ever read the heretical book, The Shack, he's not just some hippie figure somewhere, okay? Nothing blasphemous like that. No, he is God. He shall testify of me. And we'll look at John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. I, Christ, go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. So until Christ goes back to the Father, he will not send this Holy Spirit. But it says, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Okay. So we have Christ going, sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God, the Father, so to speak, but the Holy Spirit coming to indwell the hearts of believers, indwell us, okay? If you remember back to the Old Testament days, the Holy Spirit could indwell somebody, maybe for the purpose of something they were doing, some kind of revelation or some kind of miracle, some kind of work, but it wasn't a permanent indwelling like we have right now. Christ has completed his work, has gone back to the Father. And now in this time that we live in, the Holy Spirit indwells you, seals you until the day of redemption, Jesus Christ. Don't forget to, no matter what time you live in, you're heirs of Christ by faith. You're eternally saved by faith. But we have something special here that not all believers had throughout all time. We have that something extra of the Holy Spirit within us. And the Bible does say, to whom much is given, much is required. Well, you have the Holy Spirit in you. What excuse do you have not to serve him, not to please him, right? Not to honor that temple of God, which you are. You have God dwelling within you. So let's go on to the next thing. The Holy Spirit in action. And I just jotted down many things. I'm compiling a list and with verses and the rest, and it's going to be a comparison or a chart, basically, we're going to go over next time to look at God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at all the things that they are and they do, right? But for sake of time, we're not going to look at all these verses today. It'll be next time. But I want you just to get a glimpse, okay, of this list and these things that the Holy Spirit does, or the way he acts, things he does for us. I'm just going to read through them. Filling. We have the filling of the Holy Spirit. He can fill you and can use you for service. He directs for service. Now, he doesn't always do this, but we see times in the Bible where he has directed for specific purposes, maybe the Apostle Paul or others, to go here and minister or go there and do something for the Lord. We see that he comforts. There's joy. There's peace in the Holy Spirit. We see the renewing of the Holy Ghost, the Bible talks about. We see his works in creation. We see that he provides fruits. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We see he convicts. He convinces of the truth. He teaches. We talked about that. Teaches all things. Searches the deep things of God. He brings to remembrance. We talked about that. He reveals truth. He gives inspiration. The Bible says that the words of the books, the book of the Bible, were inspired, right? Inspired by the Holy Ghost. He moved men to write these words, okay? He's revealed this truth, this very word of God that you have. He regenerates, we looked at. He seals you, okay? He baptizes you, okay? The spirit baptism. He provides power. Facilitates prayer. He sanctifies you. He sets you apart for service, right? He works miracles. We talked about this, the virgin birth, okay? The resurrection of Christ. He also strengthens you. And this isn't a complete list, okay? It could probably make another page with as many things, okay? That he does, okay? You take away the Holy Spirit, folks, and you say he's not God. Well, there's a whole lot of things that go away then, right? A whole lot of confusion that can start to take place. Holy Spirit in action. If you didn't get all those written down, next time there's going to be a handout. I'm going to have everything on a sheet where you can look at it, and you can look at the verses. So we see here the Holy Spirit can be, and there's all these things that we can respond to him with, okay? He, as a person, can be lied to. Acts 5:3, we saw Ananias lied to the Holy Ghost. He can be grieved, Ephesians 4:30. He can be quenched. The Bible says very plainly, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Don't you do it, okay? That's a command. It's not automatically that you will automatically please God and live and walk in the Holy Spirit. You're told, hey, don't do that. Why? Because you could, but don't do it, okay? Don't do that. It's not God's will that you quench the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. We talk about that Jesus Christ was talking about the unpardonable sin, okay? In Mark 3:29, he can be blasphemed the Holy Ghost. He can be resisted, Acts 7:51. They resisted in their hearts the Holy Spirit and what he was saying, the truth he was revealing. They resisted him. There's many out there that will say that, well, you can't resist the Holy Ghost. Well, yeah, you can, okay? out of hardness of your heart, you can resist the truth. He can be tempted, Acts 5:9. But also, on a positive side, we can wait in the Holy Spirit, right? In hope, Galatians 5:5. We can walk in the Holy Ghost, Galatians 5:16. And we can pray in the Spirit, Jude 1:20. And these are just some examples of these things, okay? That you can have another, you could probably have another column of other things you can do, okay? But this directly, you can do these things. You can choose to obey. You can choose to, as the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or you can walk in your old sin, flesh nature, folks. You always have that choice as a believer. There are those false teachers out there today who will say, you don't have a choice, and you're born again of the Spirit of God, and He will just make you perform like a puppet, and all this old nature, old stuff has gone away already, right? Well, I don't know about you, but how many of you are sinless, right? In this flesh body, okay? Right? And the Bible says in 1 John, if we say we're without sin, we lie, right? And do not the truth, right? We're not walking in the Spirit. But if you're walking in the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, you're walking in Him, you're not going to be sinning at the same time over here in the flesh, are you? Right? It's if you walk in the Spirit, okay, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the idea. Walk in the Spirit. Well, pray with power. Pray in the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit goes to your advocate, Jesus Christ. The advocate goes to the Father. We have direct access to God through all three persons. How much power do you think is in that, right? We're not praying in the wisdom of our flesh, right? To just some nebulous thing in the sky that we can't see, right? No, we're praying truly to the God who created the heavens and the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit and that interpretation to the Son, to the Father. God, okay, He understands you. He's there for you. Do you go to Him? Do you rely upon Him? Is it only when things are tough and you have a dire circumstance that you go to the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Ghost, to get directly to God? Right? We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go to a temple. We don't have to say the Mass. We don't have to do or recite the Rosary or any of this kind of stuff, people in religion throughout there. Okay? We don't have to chant like monks. We don't have to do any of that. Meditation, like Buddhists or any of these things? No. Okay, right? We're going to go straight to God in prayer. We can do that. So let me summarize in the last 5 minutes here this overview of the Holy Spirit. The summary verses, this is the idea here in Matthew 28:19. And it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of," okay, so one name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We see all three very clearly delineated here under one name, okay, in the name of, and the way the language is written here, it is clear, strongly clear that all three of these are one name, okay. You go in this name. You teach all nations. We see here 1 John 5:7. Some try to deny this verse, but I believe it's in God's word for a reason. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word," which we talked about was Jesus Christ, "and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." These three are one. One God. Okay. And they're there for you, folks. Isn't it amazing that God, this amazing God, okay, the Godhead, okay, who is totally love, totally all wisdom, all power, all might, everything, He decided to create this world and to put you on it eventually, right? But not only that, He didn't leave you to your own devices, your own sin, your own fate. He sent Jesus Christ. Why? Because He loved us so much. And Jesus Christ didn't just leave this world without a comforter. No, He sent you then the Holy Spirit. We today have the very Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us. Will we grieve him? That's the question. Will you grieve him? Will you walk in him? You always have this choice, moment by moment. Hey, I'm tempted by something. What am I going to do? Walk in the Spirit? Go after this thing in the flesh? Right? You always have that. But what do we have? God's Word, don't we? We have God's Word. We have God's Holy Spirit to remind you, hey, you know what God's Word says about that choice? You should do this one. Okay? Here's why and here's how we do that. Then pray in the Spirit, Lord, help me to do what's right. Help me to resist this temptation. Help me to do the right thing. And you know what, folks? The more you practice doing that, walking in the Spirit, you know what becomes more and more distasteful? All the stuff on the other side. Doesn't mean you're sinlessly perfect, perfected or whatever. But you're growing in grace. You're walking in the Spirit. People are seeing you then as a good testimony, right? And all the good things that go along with it. And even a little bit of a dabble in this can tarnish that or make you ineffective or prevent you from seeing the fruit of the Spirit and all these other things that people would want to see in you, okay? It'll prevent you from sharing the gospel, prevent you from being the testimony and light to others, right? Well, let's let the Holy Spirit of God, if he's in us, right? Let's take advantage of that in a good way, the way we're meant to, right? And walk in him. Let's do that today. He's God. Aren't you thrilled by that? Think about it for 1 second. The Holy Spirit of God is dwelling within you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Right now and today. I can't think of any other thing I could be more thankful for right now. Boy, isn't it amazing? I am so thrilled that God has saved us by his grace, displayed to us in Jesus Christ, and sealed. We are guaranteed to be received by the one who purchased us. We're sealed in him. All of that angst and, am I going to go to heaven? Am I not going to go to heaven? All of that has gone away because, why? We've been saved and we have the Holy Spirit, the earnest, the Bible calls him, the earnest. Right? He's the promise. We have that. We have that Holy Spirit of promise. Well, let's go ahead and pray today. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for giving us the Holy Ghost, for sending him to us. You sent the Son, and we thank you so much for how that Christ died on the cross for our sins. Lord, help us today then walk in the Holy Ghost so that we can please you that way. Help us to do those things. It's not easy, Lord. We struggle so much. But we have everything we need for success. We have your word. We have the Holy Spirit. Help us not to grieve you. Help us to be pleasing in your sight and then be used by you properly as we choose to walk in the Spirit. I pray that that can be true in this specific church body. We need to be the salt. We need to be the light of this area. We need to proclaim your truth, and we need to do so in love, showing people love in our lives. And Lord, we thank you so much that all of this is possible exactly because of the ministries of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We thank you so much for it. In your name, amen.